I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Find 2 Samuel chapter number 1, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. If you have a cell phone on, let's make sure that it's turned off or placed on vibrate so it does not interrupt our service. If for some reason you need to step out for some urgent matter, you may do so. That's no problem. We won't use this door up front, but we'll use the ones in the back. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Would you please stand with me today? 2 Samuel chapter 1. We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Find verse number 17, if you will. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. Everyone standing, young people down front, let's stand up. If you're going to sit up front, everybody's going to watch you. You're going to have to set an example. That's what I have to do too, because I'm up in front of everybody. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Starting with verse 17, it says, "And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also he bade that teach the children of Israel the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen?" I want you to look at verse number 25. It uses the words, "How are the mighty fallen?" Now go to verse number 27, and again it says, "How are the mighty fallen?" Look back at me, if you will. The sermon that I'm going to preach today is a very practical sermon. It's a very down-to-earth sermon. It's called Lifting the Fallen. In this passage of Scripture, we see three different times those words used, "How are the mighty fallen?" Let's never lose track of one of those opportunities, privileges, and responsibilities of the church. We ought to help fallen people. Some people think the church is all about, you know, building your portfolio and getting you a fancy building. And hey, the building is just all about people, folks. That's what it's really all about. The sermon today is called Lifting the Fallen. Let me pray for us as we start. Father, bless us now. Spirit of God, you know the intent of this sermon. I pray that you would reach down from heaven and still the crowd, and may our minds get attached to the truth and the teaching. And Lord, there's somebody here today that they've fallen, they've messed up. I pray this sermon, Lord, would salvage their life. But yet there are others, maybe at this time they're not fallen, but they know people that have fallen, or maybe in the future they're going to need this. I pray, Father, that you would help all of us to give our attention to this important truth so that when we leave here today, we as a fallen people have an opportunity to survive and do right and rebuild our lives. But as Christian people, Father, help us to leave here today with an attitude and tools in our thinking that can help the fallen. Please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. You know those words where it says, "How are the mighty fallen?" I have to tell you, I can't hardly read those words without it breaking my heart. And the Bible makes the statement, it says, "Woe to him that is alone when he falleth." There's something that I would like to make a little bit of a goal in my life. I'd like to make it a goal in my life that as long as I'm around you, that you will never have to be alone if you have fallen. I would like to be there to help you if you ever fall. And folks, be careful. You say, "Oh, Pastor, don't worry, I'm not going to fall." Men, women better than you have made tragic mistakes in life. Just remember, there's a real devil. He's really our enemy, and he can make a mess in our lives pretty quickly. I want to be there. I don't want my friends, I don't want the people in my church to ever feel like I fell, but there wasn't anybody there to help me. I'm going to read to you from the book of Ecclesiastes, another passage of Scripture. I'd like for you just to listen to it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, it says this. It says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, and he hath not another to help him up." I say to you, I'm glad we have a God that if we fall, he's willing to help us up. There's the story in the Bible, and most have heard it. David was a very, very mighty warrior. And one day, his men were in battle, and David stayed home. When David stayed home that day, he went to his rooftop, and when he got to the rooftop, he glanced across the city, and on adjoining rooftop there was a woman by the name of Bathsheba, and she was up sunbathing and had disrobed, and as a result of it, David looked at her. He lusted after her. He made a tragic mistake, and he called her unto himself, and he committed adultery. I have to tell you something. I look at that, and I know how we as preachers, and of course I want everybody here to be moral. I want you to be decent. I want you to do the right thing. But I also have to tell you this. And that story of David, and when David made that mistake, it breaks my heart, because I know the devil's smart, and I know the devil's powerful. And there's a big part of me, if I had been alive at that time and I was David's pastor, I would have told David, I would have said, David, you knucklehead, what were you doing? What's wrong with you? And I would have said, David, now you come to my office and you let me help you. You're a great man. You're a good man. I don't want you to waste your life because you've made a mistake, David. Let me help you, and let's get you back on track, David, so God can use you. And you know something? God did use David again. He did use David again. I think David would have said, sitting in my office, he would have said, Brother Owens, sin is strong. I would have never dreamed I would have made that mistake. But sin's strong, and the devil's smart. He said, I have to tell you, Pastor, I cried myself to sleep after I did that stupid thing. I messed up. And you think, if you all think about it, here we are talking about it again. I mean, that even to me, I just feel so bad for David in that aspect of things. I think David would have said, I felt trapped. I'm sure David was able to say, I know everybody's disappointed in me, but Pastor, could I tell you something? Pastor, I'm disappointed in me. I know I did wrong. I did the wrong thing. Because of my sin, I couldn't sleep, and I wanted to run, and I wanted to hide, and I just wanted to give up. Folks, I want you to remember something. I hate sin, and God hates sin, and you ought to hate sin. But we're not supposed to hate the sinner. Now, we're going to stand for what's right. And we're going to do everything we can to protect people from doing wrong. But God knows, folks, when people do wrong, they need somebody to help them and to rebuild them and to love them. I'm going to tell you a story. There's a man that used to work for me. His name was Randy. Randy had been in a bad accident. As a result of that accident, Randy was a quadriplegic. He was paralyzed from basically his chest down. Believe it or not, he helped me on my church staff. He could put a pencil in his mouth and he could type. And we gave him a job, and he was helpful. Randy would get on a train that would take him from his home to a train stop near the church, and they would unload his little electric bike, a scooter, and they would unload him, and then he would ride that scooter about half a block or so to get to the church to go to work. And it was a cold winter day, and Randy had headed toward church. They unloaded him. The train took off, and somehow while he was within that half block of the church, he hit a bump. That bump turned his scooter over, and that quadriplegic man was lying there, half in the street, half on the sidewalk, stuck, face down. And I don't know how long he was there. Of course, I was in my office working. Someone at the church saw him, and they said that we ran out there as fast as we could and said all you could hear as you approached him, his face was just shoved in the cement as he was stuck there. And this is all you could hear him say. He was screaming, "Help me. I've fallen, and I can't get up. Help me. I've fallen. And I can't get up." I look at the human race, and I almost hear that everywhere. Help me. I've fallen. And I can't get up. Do you understand, girls? Look right this way. Don't talk, but listen. Help me. I've fallen, and I can't get up. You know what I'm about to say? If you've fallen, I want to help you. I want you to know you can get up. You can get up. But if you've not fallen, might I warn you? You could. You could. And before you ever look down your nose at somebody that's gotten themselves into a mess and they've messed up their life, may I say, we are all of the potential of doing the worst of things. I think David in the Old Testament, I think David looked at himself at the end of a few days and said, what a mess I've created. What was I thinking? What did I do? And I think, folks, we're an old-fashioned church. If you're a guest here today, we're old-fashioned. We're straight-laced. We believe in living right and doing right and smelling right and walking right and talking right. But folks, if we're going to believe right, we also have to believe right about helping fallen man. That has been a part of the New Testament church since Jesus is alive on the face of this earth. When people falls, you know, I'm not sure anybody understands what people go through when they fall, unless they have fallen or they've been around people and helped the fallen. I call the sermon Lifting the Fallen. Can you hear them? Help me. I've fallen. I can't get up. I'm going to make a lot of practical points. This is not going to be a dynamic sermon at all. But I'm just going to tell you what I do and how I help people when they've fallen. First of all, you got to face the reality. It happened. You have to face that reality. You face it. I wouldn't waste your time denying that you fell. Don't waste healing time ignoring the fact that you've fallen. I know you can't believe it happened to you, and you never thought it would happen to you. But if it happened, okay, face it, so we can go on. I think David said to himself, I thought I was stronger than that. And folks, when we make mistakes, I think sometimes it's our pride that gets us into the mess because we think we can dabble in this sin and dabble in that sin and it's never going to catch up to us and it's not going to take advantage of us. But let me tell you, sin will always hurt you and sin, you're never going to get an advantage on sin. But if you did wrong, just face it. Hiding from it, you know, they say an ostrich sticks his head in the ground and just thinks he can ignore everything. Well, I don't think ostriches actually do that. I kind of studied the ostrich a little bit. But we as Christians, we think that. We do wrong. We make a mess in our life and we just hide from it for a moment. Look, hiding from it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you to get up. But first of all, face it. It happened. Number two. Look, you can't change the past. You can't change the past. Don't dwell on what you cannot change. Some of the sins that we commit some of the sins that mankind commits are almost, they're sinful to rehash. Look, if you've made a mistake morally, you need to get past that and stop thinking about it. There are just some things that should not be thought about again. You can't change the past, but all you can do is take care of now and the future. And so may I say, if you've fallen, don't keep talking about it. Don't keep telling everybody about it. If you've fallen, and really you ought not be proud of it in any way, shape, or form, and I'll just tell everybody here, if somebody falls, everybody just needs to keep their mouth shut, let them get help. Let's not spread it around and make it worse and turn it into a big gossip session. Look, if they fell and they made a mistake, somebody's got to love them enough to pick them up and get them back on track so they have a chance to salvage their life. So sometimes you got to face it happened. Then you got to realize that what's happened, I can't change it, so I don't want to live in that past. I've got to get beyond it and start moving forward. Learn a lesson from it, sure, but go on. You know, did you know that God will listen all that you feel like you need to talk to Him about it? But the human race, you just talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, you probably just make it worse and worse. Find a preacher or someone that will counsel you and help you, but you can't change the past. So if it happened, okay, it happened. Now, I can't change it. I've got to get more worried about what I'm about to do with my life than what I've already done. Number three, I think your only chance for a good future is to go on doing right and forget about your failure. Just forget about your failure. And I'll come to some practical teaching about that forgetting part in a moment. But look, you, I don't know who you are, but if you've fallen and you've made a mistake, you can still have a good future. The devil come to you, he'll lie to you about that. Waste no more of your valuable time than what you have to worrying about what's already happened. You've got to tell yourself, my only chance is to do right from here on out. The devil, you know, when we make bad mistakes, the devil comes to us and he does this to us. He makes us believe it's all over. He comes and he says, that's it. You've blown it. This is it. It's it. I mean, this is the final straw. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no more life. There's no more for you. The devil is a liar. He will steal from you. He will lie to you. Look, it happened. There's nothing we can do about it. We can't live in the past. We've got to get past it. We've got to get concerned about the future, and we've got to get past the concerns about that failure. You have your whole life ahead of you. Hey, and you got to look at it like this. You lost a little battle, but you have not lost the war. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because you're still alive. Look, anybody under the sound of my voice, if you're alive, that means God has a plan from your life from here on out. Because if God didn't have a plan for your life, he could just kill you and take you to heaven. So if you're alive, God has something good for you. There is more out there. But boy, I'll tell you, we make a mistake, we sin, we blunder, and the devil comes to us, and you know how he gets all over you. And before long, he's got you almost in depression, and he's got you believing this is it. This is the final straw. There's no hope. There's no tomorrow. You can't get past this. Well, just tell him to go back to the hell from which he came. There is a tomorrow. You do have hope. You can do something good with your life. Number four. Learn what lessons you can from your fall and plan to do your best not to fall again. Now, when I say forget about the past, I'm not saying don't learn from it. I want us to learn from it. But I'm talking about that morbid depression that came. You can't change it. So stop worrying about it. Squeeze it. Get a little teaching out of it so you don't make the same mistake again. Then we've got to go on. Folks, it'd be good for us to learn about sin's progression. If you've blown it, if you've stepped into some sin that's messed up your life, let me tell you, the devil's so smart. It'd be a good idea for us to learn. You know how he is. Most people don't fall into sin and just one day it's this great big splash and you say, wow, in one day, look at what I caused myself. It didn't come in one day. You were playing tag with the devil for days before. There were some things that you were doing. Sin's got a progression. It starts small and in music, Brother Edwards, a crescendo, that crescendo sign in music, it starts small like a on its side V. Those of you that know music, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's exactly how you get into a big mess. You start dabbling in little sins and little things that you shouldn't be playing around with, and they begin to multiply, and like dominoes, they begin to topple on you. And before long, you have a big mess on your hands. Learn about the progression of sin. I don't think most people jump in to big problems in life just overnight. I think what happens is they play with sin. They dabble with sin. They mess around with sin. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in a catastrophic situation. And most wake up and say, oh my, I didn't see that coming. Well, learn that you can't play around with sin. Learn that the devil has a way of hiding his end intentions from you. But look, it happened. You can't change the past. Your only chance is to go forward. You learn a lesson from your mistake, and let's go forward. Number five, if you fall, or you know somebody that falls, you know what we all need to learn to do? We need to learn to be like God. Learn to be like God. You say, why? He forgives us. He forgives us. Did you know that God is... You know, at preachers, sometimes we can give the wrong impression. Some preachers just give the impression that all the Christians, God's out to get you. God's going to get you. Well, yeah, if the Bible teaches if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. But God's not standing in heaven with a big baseball bat just waiting to sock you in the head. Our God is a loving God. God doesn't want you to mess up. God is a forgiving God, and God's a good God. So, you know, some of us need to learn to be a little bit more like God. He forgives us. He still loves us. Do you know that the Bible says that God, He has a way. He gets amnesia about our sin. There's a whole song that is written, that and the words to it is, "What sins are you talking about?" And God says, I don't remember them anymore. Hey, look, God gives us a second chance. Now, folks, when people fall, they need a chance to be forgiven. They need to know that they're still loved. They need to know that we can, it's too bad. There are Christians in this room. Somebody in the church disappointed you 6 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. You can look at them, and the first thing you think of when you see them is their fall from 10 years ago. You know what? I don't think that's what God sees when He sees you. And by the way, your fall in regard to your status with God was far worse than that Christian's fall. But when God sees you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees forgiveness, and He sees something of quality. And you're wrong for labeling them that way. They're forgiven. And people aren't going to be able to rebuild their life if the first thing you think of is that stupid thing they did 4 years ago or 6 years ago or 8 years ago. And that's the same for some of you married people. You could get over some things that are going on in your marriage if you just forget about the past and rebuild from here on out. But we've got to learn to be like God. Hey, folks, if you've fallen, there's a part of this. God will forgive you, but you know what you might need to learn to do? You might need to learn to forgive yourself. If God can forgive you, you might have to learn to forgive yourself. God will give you another chance. Somebody in this room, you may have to give you another chance. And I think sometimes the devil gets on us and we're thinking, you know, I'm not worthy. Just so you know, I don't want to burst your bubble. You say, Brother Owens, I made a bad mistake and now I don't feel worthy. You weren't worthy before either. Just so y'all know, we kind of get puffed up sometimes. Say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm looking pretty good here. And God's saying, nah, you're the same old wretched, dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner you were before. You say, compared to who? Not compared to me, but compared to Jesus, we're just a bunch of sinners. That's all. That's what you were before you fell. But now you say, oh, I've fallen. I don't qualify. You didn't qualify before. But don't let the devil steal that from you. Do you know why God wants to forgive you? It's because the only thing God has to use are sinners. So He says, I got to keep these sinners. I got to restore them and help them because they're going to help me to get the job done. Hey, look, you got to learn to be like God. You got to forgive. You got to work at forgetting. You got to, hey, sure. I in a moment, I'm going to tell you, don't forget the pain that you've caused yourself and others, but we've got to keep moving forward. So, you have to say to yourself, you fall, you make a mess of something in your life, face it. Just face it. Say, look at it and say, okay, it happened. It happened. I'm there. I can't change it. I'm going to go forward, and I've got to leave some of that behind me. I've got to bury it. I'm going to learn some lessons from it so I don't make the mistake again. I'm going to behave like God. And if God can forgive me, then I can forgive me. And if God can give me another chance, I can give me another chance. Now, something else I'd advise. Don't forget the pain and the misery you've caused other people. I don't think there's anything wrong with you remembering that. Hey, do you know that there are a lot of lessons our children learned in life by hurting themselves? There are some things my father said to me, stay away from that receptacle in the wall. You know, have any of you ever been shocked before? Would you raise your hand? It's one of those things that you pretty well in your heart say, I don't think we're going to do that again. I really don't think I want to go there again. Now, folks, I am not glad that anybody in here has been hurt. Some of you don't know me, but let me tell you something. I don't want anybody hurt. I don't want anybody ever hurt at anything. But listen, if we had to experience some pain, it might be a good idea to think back every once in a while and say to yourself, remember the pain I caused. I fell. I want to remember that pain. You might want to remember some of the sleepless nights. You might want to, hey, young people, you might want to remember how your mama cried and what it did to your daddy's heart and what it caused you and the pain that it caused. Now, and again, I'm not trying to get you to go into a morbid depression, but there's a certain responsibility. If you fall, the pain, it's supposed to help you not to fall again. Even folks, you know, when we discipline our children, it wasn't because we were trying to destroy them. We're trying to associate the discipline with the wrong act and them say, I don't think I want to do that anymore. It's not a good idea to do that. That causes grief. That'll set you back in life. So you just make sure that you remember the pain, because that pain will keep you from being tempted to go back in that same direction and fall again. Next. If I were you and you fall, thank God, because it was by His grace. Boys, I want you to stand up, come up this rail, do a tapping step. I'm not trying to need you, but it's going to be better for you to go to the backing set because they're down. Yeah, you know, I love you guys, and you sit back there because I've got people watching you instead of watching me, and I know I'm not interesting to you, but I got to be interesting to at least somebody in the room right now. So, and I love you guys. I'm not mad at you. You're just not used to sitting all the way in the front in church and listening to a boring preacher. So you just sit back there and wait for me, okay? Now, look, it happened. Okay, it happened. You can't change it, so you got to get past it. Your only chance is to look toward the future and decide, I'll learn some things from that, but I'm not going to live back there. You learn a few lessons from it. You decide to behave towards yourself and others like God would. Forgive. Another chance. Try again. Don't forget all the pain. That pain's not there to make you miserable. It's there to keep you from going back to the misery. Then, thank God that it was because of His grace that He kept you from going deeper and having even worse results. You know, folks, when we fall and we get into a mess, and you catch yourself and say, oh no, look what I've done. If I were you, right there, I'd stop and say, well, thank God it wasn't any worse. You ever heard someone say, well, it just couldn't be worse? That's one of the dumbest things you could ever say. God could prove you wrong. It could be worse. See, because of His mercy, hey, look, if you're here today to hear this lesson, His mercy made it so you could be here to hear this lesson. Well, what do you do when you fall? Had He not been merciful, maybe you would have never heard a lesson on get up, try again, you can make it. You can still have a successful life. If you say, well, I'll never, and some of you be very careful. You say, well, I would never do thus and so. You look at David and the mistake that David made. And you've got a pretty good marriage and you're a pretty moral person. And you look at it and say, well, I'd never do that. Let me warn you. The people that walk around with that Pharisee type of an attitude, I would never, with your nose in the air, you may be next. Because the only reason you haven't made the same mistake somebody else has is because of the mercy of Almighty God. Boy, His mercy and His grace. I just thank God that God's been merciful to me. We're all capable of the same behavior. Look, thank God that you get to hear a lesson like this. Thank God that you didn't ruin your life more. It could have been worse. Hey, and folks, be careful. Don't get bitter with God for what you did to yourself. Nah, God's my friend. I'm going to defend Him. Well, we make mistakes and then we get mad at God. Look what God did. God doesn't love me. God has loved you all the way through the mess that you made. Matter of fact, He loves you while you're busy blaming Him for what you did. He'll love you. But remember this. Remember, you ought to just thank God that you didn't go any deeper. Next, let me recommend, if you've fallen, get yourself very close to God. Get yourself very close to God. I would do this. I would grant Him His smallest wishes in your life. I'd even look for His preferences in your life. You say, why? You need all the help you can get. If you've fallen, you need help. You get up close to God. Hey, can I tell you something? You can be honest with God. You can pour your heart out to God. And it does you no good to hide, but you need to get up close to God. Don't be afraid to say, God, I blew it. I need some help. I want to get back on track. I want to have a decent life. I want to have some happiness again in my life. You get close to Him. But folks, to get close to God, you're going to have to keep yourself in church. You're going to have to get your Bible out and let the Bible become a part of your life. You're not going to do this all by yourself. But stay close to God. Next, listen to this. I'm going to give you some wording. Be careful. Some people that make a terrible mistake, that fall, say, well, I'll never do that again. Wrong thing to say. Let me teach you how to word it. You say, by the grace of God, I will never do that again. You hear the wording? By the grace of God, I will never do that again. When you say, well, I'll never do that again. I learned my lesson. Oh my, be very, very careful, because it is His mercy and His grace that keeps us in understanding and living right and living strongly. See, most of the time we got into our mess because of pride. I don't have to go to church and I'm still living right. No, you're not. You can't. That's impossible. You have to go to church to be right with God. That don't mean you have to live there, but it does mean you have to be, you got to go to church to be right with God. And our pride somehow gets involved, and we make these mistakes in life. And I'm using the term mistake, but just so y'all understand, I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about you and I going against God and sinning against God in the Bible. I'm using the word mistake to put a little cushion in it for you. But at the same time, when we make a mistake, it's our pride. And if you're not careful, you make a mistake, you fall flat on your face, you messed up your life, you're suffering from it, and then you begin to climb out of the mess and you say, well, I'll never do that again. Oh my, you might be heading right toward the mess again. You better say, by the grace of God, I'll never do that again. God helping me, I'll never do that again. Let me go on. Folks, wonder if your hurt is caused by someone else. Well, there's one thing you can get out of this. You say, I'm hurting, and that hurt was caused by somebody else. Well, maybe you ought to praise God. It could have been you hurting someone. It could have been you hurting someone. If someone has hurt you, let me tell you, you just thank God that you're not the one doing the hurting. Now, I don't know how you feel about life. I know how I feel about life. I'd rather be hurt than to cause hurt. And you say, well, I'm not there. Well, then maybe it's something we all ought to strive for. I don't want to be the one to hurt. Thank God, if somebody's hurt you, you just be careful. And I might tell you this as well. You might want to watch how you treat people that have hurt you. Because the way you treat them, it may be you doing the hurting next time. And you may not like reaping what you have sown. But now, I want to recommend this. If you've fallen, you're going to have to get away from the things that would associate with your fall. You say, I fell, and there's these friends. There's this boyfriend or this girlfriend or these associations or this or that. And it was all over this mess that I got myself in. Then you're going to have to retract yourself. You got to get away from that. Those of you that have come close to destroying your life with liquor, they're going to tell you at AA, you better stay away from the bar. You say, but I'll go down to drink milk. You're better off not drinking milk at the bar. You may just be tempted to have a Bud Dummer. And you'll get yourself into trouble that way. But you run from those things that would be associated with your fall. Now, I would recommend that you most people that fall, that get themselves in deep, they're doing some lying somewhere along the way. They're lying to themselves. They're lying to God. They're lying to their parents. They're lying to a husband or to a wife. Folks, if you want to rebuild after a fall, you're going to have to start telling the truth. You're just going to have to start telling the truth. Things don't heal when you continue to lie. There are people under the sound of my voice, you're lying to someone, and that's one of the reasons why you're not rebuilding like you ought to rebuild. You say, what's the big deal about the truth? Jesus is the truth. The Bible says in John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when He says He's the truth, if you want the God of the universe to help you to rebuild, you're going to have to get Him involved in your life. And to get Him involved in your life, it's going to necessitate some honesty, because that's what He is. He's truth. Now, I don't know who has fallen. I don't know if you have fallen. And maybe you haven't fallen, but maybe you know someone that's fallen. Or maybe God's just trying to give you something to help you, because we all tend to have a fall or two in life. And I would say about everybody has some sort of a fall in life. Some have more than one fall where they really get away from God and really mess up. If that be the case, you take a lesson. You take some teaching like this and you let it help you. You face it. And you got to just admit it. You have to say, okay, guilty. It happened. Now, I can't change the past. The only thing I can do is go forward. I'm going to learn some lessons from my mistake. I'll handle myself and others like God. I'll forgive. I'll give another chance. I'm not going to forget that pain. I'm not going to forget the sleepless nights. I'm not going to forget what I caused myself. I want to thank God that I didn't go any deeper. I'm going to get close to God. I'm not going to get arrogant. I'm going to have confidence, and I'm going to say, by the grace of God, I won't do this again. Thank God. Somebody, if they hurt me, I'm just glad I'm not doing the hurting. I got to get away from some things, because there's some things that were in my life when I fell that contributed to my fall. So I've got to separate from some of those things. I'm going to get to God. I'm going to tell the truth. And I'm going to rebuild my life. Now, I promise you, in that mix of what we might call principles, you can get up and you can rebuild and you can have success again. To the church, let me tell you this. We're a soul-winning church. And that's where we believe that people need to be born again. We believe there's a heaven. We believe there's a hell. We believe those are real places. And we believe it's our job to witness and tell people about Christ. Soul winning is lifting the fallen. You ought to be lifting the fallen by telling others about Jesus. Our ministry, it is lifting the fallen who are lost. And then I also believe, folks, the Bible clearly teaches that you and I are to try to help lift our Christian brothers when they fall. Always remember, your treatment of others could definitely come back at you. If you're arrogant, if you're one of those people that there are certain sins, if people commit them, you're hateful toward them and unforgiving, I want to just warn you, that may come back to haunt you someday. You may find yourself committing that same sin someday. You're going to wish you would have loved somebody. You're going to wish you would have been patient and kind and rooted for them to make it. You're going to wish that. Be careful, Pharisee. Be careful, confident Christian. Look, when David fell, I think there were probably people that said, I can't. David? David? He's the one that slew Goliath. You know, he was known as a powerhouse. I'm sure there were people that said, David? Wow, goodness. It's hard to believe. Look, and if a David could fall, you could fall. I mean, God used David to write much of the Psalms. Has God used you to write any Bible? Well, I'm going to guess then there's a possibility David had a few things on the ball that you didn't. It means if David could make the mistake, God knows you could make the mistake. So watch how you treat people. It may come back to haunt you. When I read those words, listen to them again. 2 Samuel Chapter 1, verse number 19, it says, how are the mighty fallen? Same chapter, verse 25, how are the mighty fallen? Same chapter, verse 27, how are the mighty fallen? If the mighty are going to fall, I guess then the rest of us that are just everyday kind of people, we probably could fall as well. When I heard them say to me, they said, Pastor, Brother Owens, Randy had fallen in the parking lot. When I started running over toward him and his scooter, he was face down. It was freezing cold. I have no idea, Brother Owens, how long he'd been there. But this is what I could hear as I was racing across the street to go help Randy. I heard him say, help me. I've fallen. And I can't get up. Folks, when we hear those words, you and I ought to care enough to help people get up. Let's be a church that helps the fallen, the lost and the Christian fallen. We sing about being a part of we're in the Lord's army. You know, some of you, if you were in the virtual army, if you were in the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, if you were out on the battlefield, if you behaved as an enlisted person on the battlefield the way some of you do as Christians, you'd be going around shooting your own soldiers. Because in the Christian army, somebody makes a mistake, you're all over them. You're out to destroy them. My goodness, it's a good thing you're not in our military. I think if I had a comrade that had gone down beside me, I would do everything I could to save him. And we as Christians ought to feel the same way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The sermon, Lifting the Fallen, I've given you a process, some things that you have to do if you want to rebuild. Who here today would say, Pastor, been a few falls in my life. And I've heard you say something today that I needed to hear. There's some things in there that I needed to hear that I think can help me with falls that I've experienced in my life. Would you raise your hand and say, yeah, lots of hands. Oh, sure, lots of hands for all of us. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Are you unsaved today? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you would say, Pastor, I'm not even saved. I don't even know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Pray for me. I'm not born again. If you'll raise your hand right now, I will pray for you. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I don't even know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I see those hands in the back. God bless you. You may put your hands down. I don't even know that I'm saved. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm fallen in the sense that I've never even been saved. I need to be born again. Pray for me. Anyone else? I've seen those hands. God bless you. In a moment, you can put your hands down. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, we're going to start what's called the altar call. To those of you that raised your hand, I'm going to tell you in a second to come toward the front. We'll all stand. You'll come toward the front. And when you come, I'm going to have someone come and talk with you and take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I'll need soul winners ready. I'll need my name takers ready. A couple of you soul winners, you be ready to help me. To those of you who are born again, let's help the fallen. But if you have fallen, maybe you need to come to this altar today and get on your knees for a second and say, God, help me. By your grace, I'll not make that mistake again. I want to rebuild my life. I'm going to try. I'm going to get up. I'm going to leave the past behind, and I'm going to start serving you again with my life. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get it right. Somebody in here, you need that. You need that. Remember, if you raised your hand for salvation, in a second I'm going to ask you to come. There'll be others coming. You come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to be born again, you come. I need a lady soul winner. I need a lady that can win souls. Some of you that like to go out soul winning on Thursday night, if you'll bring your Bible and you'll just come, I'll show you how to be born again. Brother Edwards, if you can help me, let's get these folks a seat. Okay, Brother Ellswick, and this young lady here also, let's see. Okay, Amber, sure, if you'll come. And Brother Ellswick, both those, let Amber help them, if you will. And Brother Tyler, all three of those young men, if you'll deal with them, take a moment and make sure. And then I need a name taker to help me right here. Good, fantastic. Fallen is someone that's not born again. They're fallen. They're in sin. We need to get them saved. But wait, after we get saved, we can make some stupid mistakes. I can testify, tell you some of the dumbest things in the world that I've done in my life. And it hurt God and it hurt people. I want to get up. I don't want to stay down. Help. I've fallen. And I can't get up. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray. piano will continue to play. If you're at your seat, be very, very cautious not to interrupt. It'll take a moment. There are people getting saved. What are we doing? We're lifting the fallen. We found people that are not born again. They need to be born again. We'll take a moment and let that take place. Too often we think a ministry success is how nice are their buildings. I think it's how many of the fallen are they lifting. Too often we think a ministry success is, well, look at their fleet of vehicles. I've got news for you. It's not about the fleet of vehicles. It's about, are we lifting the fallen? How good was the offering? Let me tell you something. You can't judge a ministry success on how good is the offering, but you can judge a ministry success is how do they treat the fallen? Are they salvaging the fallen? Are the fallen being saved? Are the fallen being reached? I tell you this, I know some men that are orators and they're great speakers, but really how well a man can preach means very little to me. I'd like to know, what's he doing with the fallen? Is he helping the fallen? Is he a good preacher because he just wants everybody to look at him and for him to be famous? Or is he trying to reach the fallen? Is he trying to restore someone that's fallen? Is he helping the lost to get saved? To me, I would rather have some preacher that stumbles all over his words and couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag, but he's reaching the lost and changing lives. That's what the ministry's all about. If you've been saved and baptized, you've never joined the church, and you'd like to join membership with our church, you're welcome to come. All you have to do, saved, follow the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation. The Bible teaches that membership is the next step. And then I'll need a name taker. Folks, I realize an invitation, you start it, takes a few extra minutes. You know how many churches you can go to? They don't even have invitations anymore. Well, if there's a heaven and there's a hell, people ought to be given the opportunity to get saved. Helping the fallen, reaching the fallen. Let me remind you again exactly what I said. You face it, you just admit it. Okay, I made the mistake. And you say to yourself, I can't change the past. My only chance is I've got to decide to go forward. I'm going to learn some lessons from my mistake. I'm going to handle it like God would. I'll forget, I'll forgive, I'll go on. I'm going to remember the pain so I don't have to re-experience it. Thank God I didn't do worse. I'm going to get myself close to God. When I get a little confidence, I'm going to say, by the grace of God, I'll not do that again. I'm going to disassociate with the things that contributed to my fall. I'm going to keep myself right with God. I'm going to tell the truth. And I'm going to get up. And I'm going to help myself. One more time, Rachel, through the song. One more time. And folks, we'll move on. But let's have one more time through the song. God bless you. Thank you, Rachel.